podcast of the Leeds Centre for Dante Studies.
In this series of podcasts, Ruth Chester, a doctoral student at the Leeds Centre for Dante Studies, introduces key aspects of Dante's religious thought.
An introduction to the sacraments. The term sacraments, as used in the Christian context, refers to certain rituals and ceremonies of the Church which carry behind them a profound religious meaning. In the period between the birth of Christ and the point at which Dante wrote his Commedia, the official Church position on the sacraments was still very much in formation. What counted as a sacrament? What did sacrament mean? And of course, most importantly, what was the relation of a sacrament to human salvation? The Latin term sacramentum was originally used to translate the Greek word for mystery. Mystery is a very loaded word in the Christian context. It can refer to the divine plan which God has for human salvation, which is not directly known by man, or it can refer to the obscure signs through which that plan is revealed to humankind. A sacrament, then, is a kind of sign, something which obscurely reveals a deeper truth. The 4th century thinker and bishop St. Augustine, whose work had huge influence on medieval theology and upon Dante himself, is popularly attributed with defining a sacrament as a visible sign of invisible grace. But even more than just a sign of something profound, a sacrament is a symbolic event which not only signifies divine grace, but manifests and transmits that grace to the person receiving the sacrament. God is worshipped through the sacrament and also conveys sanctification through it. Evidence from the Bible states that the sacrament involves the transmission of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Holy Trinity, into the recipient of that sacrament. A further important point in the understanding of what the sacraments actually are is their relation to Christ. In a profound sense, the incarnate Christ himself was a sacrament, a visible sign of invisible grace, whose incarnation brought that grace to the world. Every subsequent sacrament, therefore, takes its meaning and value from that first one. Christ demonstrated to humankind how they should worship his Father, God, and by sacrificing himself for the sake of humankind in the crucifixion, he brought redemption. Only Christ could demonstrate the way for fallen humanity to return to God, and in fact, the way is through Christ himself, not only by following his moral example, but by participating in his divine grace through participating in the sacraments. This brings us to another important point of Christian theology and metaphysics, the belief that the Church on earth is the metaphysical body of Christ. So obviously being a member of that Church is a very significant position. One is sharing in a very intimate way in the revelation of Christ. As the rituals of the Church, the sacraments are the necessary means which connect the believer to Christ incarnate and Christ as God. They reenact the perfect worship of God, which in return brings God's grace to the worshipper. A definitive list of which Church rituals counted as sacraments was still a matter of debate up to the 16th century and the Council of Trent, although the foundations for the definitive list were laid down in the 12th century. This means that that list was early enough to have had some tangible influence on Dante's thinking, although his idea of sacrament may have been much more fluid than the current day one. What is definitely discernible in Dante, however, is his intense engagement with the sacraments, some more than others. There are now considered to be 7 sacraments. Baptism, confirmation, which is when a person officially accepts and announces their belief in the Christian faith, penance, the Eucharist, marriage, ordination, that is, becoming a priest, and anointing of the sick, which is referred to as extreme unction in the case of a dying person. All of these would have been rituals that Dante probably knew intimately, and in many cases had participated in himself. In the case of the Eucharist, or as you may have heard it called, Holy Communion, for example, this would have been a feature of his daily life. It's therefore impossible to overestimate the influence of the sacraments on Dante's thought and poetry. Sometimes references to the specific sacraments are explicit. For example, when Dante talks about his own baptism in Canto 25 of the Paradiso. But perhaps more often, reference to the sacraments is through inference, imagery, and suggestion. I'll just give you a brief outline of the theology of three of the main sacraments that you might consider in relation to Dante's work. Baptism is the moment at which a person is brought into the faith and church. And this is done through cleansing with water. This has often been considered the most important sacrament, as it is the one which opens the door to faith and salvation. Baptism is inherently tied up with the idea of original sin, which you will find discussed in another of these introductory podcasts. Every human being is born with this inherited original sin. In St. Paul's Epistle to the Romans in the New Testament, you will find baptism described as being buried with Christ, but then sharing in his resurrection. So as Christ died to pay for human sin, baptism is a similar dying to sin and a rebirth to new life. Obviously from this, it becomes clear why baptism is such a central sacrament, being the only way through which a person can begin the path to salvation. It alone can even be sufficient for salvation, for example in the case of babies who die at birth. This is a question which presents itself in Limbo, where Dante encounters the souls of unbaptized babies, to whom the way to faith and salvation was never opened. Had they been baptized, they could have been saved. As well as the theology of baptism, Dante also engages with the images related to baptism. For example, we come across a perverted representation of this sacrament in Canto 19 of the Inferno, where Dante witnesses the punishment of the simoniac popes. There he finds the popes head down in parodies of baptismal fonts, representing their own perversion of the faith they had claimed to hold. This canto is in fact full of references to the sacraments, which is very fitting in a canto dealing with those who have sinned against their faith, while supposed to be its official representatives, that is, popes, on earth. In a more positive reenactment of baptism, we see Dante's own second baptism in the rivers of Unoy and Leith in Canto 33 of Purgatorio, through which ritual he re-enters the faith, renewed after his journey through purgatory. The second sacrament I'd like to talk about here is penance, and this is a sacrament which has three important stages. The first is contrition, when a person recognises they have done wrong and feels grief for it. The second stage is confession, where the sinner tells what they have done wrong to a priest. And the third stage is satisfaction, where they atone for what they have done with some punishment or good action. If the whole sacrament of penance is not completed before death, for example, if someone has felt contrition but has not had the opportunity to confess or provide satisfaction, then their soul after death is said to go to purgatory, where they will pay their debt of satisfaction before entering heaven. As such, and this is something you will see in Dante, if someone dies not in a state of grace, but in a state of contrition, they can still be saved from hell. This is the case of Manfredi, who Dante encounters in Canto 3 of the Purgatorio. What Manfredi's story demonstrates is that what is important in this sacrament is the internal personal state of the individual, more so than the external rituals they have completed. Purgatorio is one of the richest areas in the Commedia for reference to the sacrament of penance. The whole realm is based around acknowledgement of sin and the paying of satisfaction in the form of penitential suffering. The final sacrament, which I'll talk about here as being important when reading the Commedia, is the Eucharist. Along with baptism, this has been understood as the most important of the sacraments, and in fact has a special quality of its own. The sacrament of the Eucharist originates in the story of the Last Supper, which you can read in the Gospel of Luke in the New Testament, although the imagery of bread and wine which it employs has much older echoes. The Last Supper is the moment at which Jesus Christ shares the meal of Passover with his disciples only a few days before his crucifixion, and during this meal he names the bread which he breaks as his body and the wine which they are drinking as his blood. He also tells his apostles to observe this ritual in memory of himself. The sacrament of the Eucharist, which involves the taking of bread and wine, is unlike any of the other sacraments. Whereas all the sacraments confer grace on the recipient, in the Eucharistic bread and wine there is believed to be the actual presence of Christ. The question of the real presence has been a point of huge discussion among Christians, and indeed continues to create theological divisions today. However, to Dante, a Catholic Christian, the taking of the Eucharist is the receiving of the actual body and blood of Christ. So this sacrament is of huge importance as a ritual, being the real physical participation in the body of Christ, which, as we said earlier, is represented by the Church itself. The Eucharist is a sacrament of commemoration, of love, and of unity. Dante's use of images of this sacrament is subtle and complex, and as with many religious rituals which would have been part of his actual daily life, their presence is more to be found in the underlying fabric of imagery of the text than in direct theological explanations. For example, in Canto 13 of Purgatorio, when Dante meets the souls of the envious, the examples of virtuous behaviour which Dante hears as disembodied voices call on the souls undergoing purgation to come to the table of love, where bread and wine will be served. Although the direct reference is to the event of the marriage of Cana, the images depicted here also evoke the Eucharist and the union of the believer with Christ. When we're considering the Eucharist, or indeed any of the sacraments in Dante's work, we can consider a variety of aspects. We can think about ritualistic elements. We can consider the sacraments as modes of interaction with the divine. And we can look at the sacraments as representing the relation of Christ to his Church. Finally, we can also look at how an individual person's use of the sacraments affects their spiritual progress, which can lead them both away from and towards God.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from the Leeds Centre for Dante Studies. If you'd like to find out more about the centre and its activities, please visit www.leeds.ac.uk/